Got super quiet, and I'm not ready. Keep talking. Well, good morning. Not bad. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor here. Again, want to say welcome to everybody. Welcome back. If you haven't been here in a little while, for our guests, if this is your first, second time, we're pumped that you are here. I'm going to jump right in this morning because we've got a lot to cover. So this is going to feel a little bit like a sprint, but I know if I said, hey guys, we're going to be here for 2 hours, some people would be like, yay, and then some people would be like, Cale, you got 35 minutes and I'm walking out of here, right? So wherever you are, I'm just walking out. So we're gonna go quickly if we can. We're in this series right now called Unsung Hero, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Unsung Hero, understanding the Holy Spirit. And what we see typically in the church, depending on what background you grew up in, if you don't have a church background at all, we're pumped that you're here. None of this will probably make a lot of sense to you, so that's totally okay. If you came from a church background, maybe you grew up in a healthy background, maybe you grew up in one of kind of two extremes, and one would be that the Holy Spirit was nearly absent kind of in your discussions. Maybe some doctrine, maybe some songs that you sang about the Holy Spirit, but outside of that, it's like, man, we just didn't really acknowledge anything that he did. We didn't experience a lot of the Holy Spirit's activity. Or maybe you grew up on the opposite end of that spectrum where you say, man, it was just all about the Holy Spirit and manifestations of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works. And we just talked about the Spirit and talked about the Spirit and talked about the Spirit and asked for the Spirit. And we would say, look, there are good things about both sides in some ways, but neither one is totally biblical. And so we want to land in a spot where we're saying, okay, what does Scripture say about the Holy Spirit? We need to be experiencing, but at the same time, we don't want to go down an unbiblical path where we're kind of becoming obsessed with manifestations of the Spirit and things like that. And so we are in this series trying to understand, okay, how does the Holy Spirit work in our lives? What's the purpose and what does he do in our lives, this third member of the Trinity? And so the thing that we've said each week, the thing we're going to keep saying for the duration of this series is that the Holy Spirit is more of a spotlight than in the spotlight. That's the big idea for this series, that the Holy Spirit is more of a spotlight than in the spotlight. And here's what we mean by that. J.D. Greer gives a really great illustration of this in a book called Jesus Continued. He says, if you drive by the Washington Monument, I mentioned this last week, if you drive by the Washington Monument at night, what you'll see is there are millions of dollars of lights spent to light up the monument. Nobody drives by the monument and says, man, look at all the lights. Isn't that so cool? No, nobody says that. Even though millions of dollars are spent on them, what everyone says is, wow, look at the monument. And that's sort of the way the Holy Spirit works in relation to Jesus Christ, to God the Father. The Holy Spirit brings attention to Jesus. So when the Holy Spirit's working and active, what you're going to see is not so much attention on the Holy Spirit as much as attention on Jesus. Okay, the gospel's being proclaimed and the Holy Spirit comes in power. What we see in Scripture is some awesome things happen and then people get saved. Some awesome things happen, Jesus gets proclaimed. And so if you're asking the question, okay, is this the activity of the Holy Spirit? You got to ask yourself, are people repenting of sin? Is Jesus Christ being proclaimed as the Savior? Is his death and his resurrection and our sinfulness and our need for Jesus being proclaimed? Is God the Father being lifted up? Or is all the attention on the Spirit and certainly not all the attention on the people, right? If it's a person who's speaking, man, I've got all the gifts of the Holy Spirit or whatever it is, you know, look, that's not how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit draws attention to Jesus. He's more of a spotlight than in the spotlight. And so last week we talked about sort of two major works of the Holy Spirit in our lives that he empowers us, right? He empowers us to live the life that Jesus has called us to live. He empowers us to make disciples, and two, that he sanctifies us. And we learned all these really cool churchy words, which I know you guys come for every week, right? So we talked about mortification and vivification, that mortification is how the Holy Spirit helps us put to death the things in us that we don't like, those things that belong to the old person. They say, look, I know I shouldn't do this. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to follow Jesus. The Spirit is the one who helps us do that. And we talked about vivification, which means to bring to life new desires inside of us. So those things that we say, look, as I'm pursuing Jesus, I want to have love, joy, peace, patience. It's the Spirit that brings those things to life in the new man. I was thinking this week, you know, if you're a young guy looking for a date, start that way, right? Hey, we just talked about mortification and vivification at our church. And I just wondered if you'd like to go get coffee and talk about that sometime. See how that works, right? And then email me because I will laugh and it'll be awesome. So we talked about that last week. This week, I had hoped to talk a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit. And so here's what I've done with that. I realized I was studying 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, 14, Romans 12, looking through, okay, what do the gifts, what do they mean? How are they exercised? It's just too big of a topic to cover in one portion of one message. And so what I've done is there is a blog that's going to be put on our website today. I wrote a blog post this week. It's actually somewhat lengthy. And so if you go to lifepointohio.com and you go to the resources tab, the first thing that pops up is something called the blog, right? And so if you Google LifePoint Ohio blog, search that, it'll come up. And the thing on there should say gifts of the Spirit or spiritual gifts. And you'll find there kind of a lengthy article that I've written just to kind of treat, okay, if we look through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, what do we see? And I've tried to anticipate some of the questions that maybe people have as far as, okay, how, what does LifePoint believe about the gifts and how are they exercised? And what about tongues? And what about prophecy? And what about, you know, visions and dreams and all that kind of stuff? And so I just tried to treat those a little bit in that topic. It's not a dissertation. It's not going to answer every question, but I hopefully it will help. And so if you go to the LifePoint blog again, you can find that article, and that's kind of where I've treated the gifts. This morning, where we're headed is, okay, how do we hear from the Holy Spirit? How do we hear from the Holy Spirit in our lives? How do we identify that God is speaking to us through his Spirit? If you've ever asked this question, I mean, this is really what this is about. Have you ever asked the question, you know, I think this is God, but I'm just not really sure. How do I know, right, that this is the will of God in my life? Have you been in situations like that where you're looking at multiple different decisions and you think, man, I'm praying about this and I think this is what God wants me to do, but I'm not entirely sure and I don't know. How do I know for sure that this is God speaking to me? How do I identify that this is the Holy Spirit's work and not just my own thoughts or not just other people's suggestions and things like that? How do I know? If you've been there, well, this morning, I hopefully will be helpful for you. I know it's been helpful for me. There's a book at the bottom of your listening guide. It's called, it says Recommended Reading. So you've got some homework. Henry Blackaby wrote a book called Experiencing God. There's a workbook that goes with it. Excellent, excellent book. Much of what I'm going to say this morning, the outline is taken from there. So I don't have any shame in that. Ultimately, it's taken from the Bible, right? So hopefully nothing we say is super original. It's from the Bible. He goes through and just gives a good outline of that. If you choose to read that book, beware, it's going to challenge you in a lot of ways and probably wreck your life in some good ways for the sake of the kingdom. And so that's a great book to read as we kind of cover this topic this morning. But let me pray for us, and then we're headed to John chapter 10, and we're going to read through kind of what Jesus says there as a framework for what we're going to talk about this morning. So let me pray for us. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, for those of us here this morning who love you and know you and have a relationship with you, I pray this morning would bring some clarity to how it is you speak in our lives. And for those of us here, God, who don't know you, who maybe are just here checking us out, maybe don't have a relationship with you, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would speak to them. And God, they would this morning give their lives to you and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior and see their need for him. God, teach us from your word. Help us to understand, Father, how it is you speak to us. We believe that you do speak still. And God, we want to know when you're speaking and how we should respond. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you go to John chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 3 through 5 and then skip around to a few verses as Jesus is in this kind of parable. He's speaking to his disciples and he's using this shepherd-sheep kind of analogy to describe the relationship between God and his followers. And so this is what he says in verse 3. He's talking about a shepherd. He says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name and leads them out. And when he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. In verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. Just flat out says it. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is talking about his crucifixion, that he laid down his life for you and for me so that we could have life. He gave up life so that we could have life. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 14, he says it again. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And if you skip all the way down to verse 27, he says this, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. It's this great kind of illustration about your relationship to the Father. If you've got a relationship to Jesus, he says, look, you're the sheep, you follow me, you know my voice, and no one can snatch you out of my hand. It's a really comforting thought. Now, we're gonna use that as kind of a framework this morning for, okay, how key is the relationship, your relationship to God and your ability to understand when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Jesus describes it as, okay, it's like a shepherd and the sheep. Why do the sheep know his voice? Because the sheep spend all their time with the shepherd, and the shepherd spends all his time with the sheep, tending for them, caring for them, right? Leading them, and the sheep follow, and they identify, okay, that's his voice, that's someone else's voice. I'm going after that person because that person's not my shepherd. He uses that as a framework for it. That's the kind of way we're supposed to follow Jesus. When we hear his voice, we say, yeah, I recognize that. Why? Because I've got a relationship with God. And so I'm going to come back to that here in a moment. But first, I want to talk about, okay, in the context of that relationship, what are some of the typical ways in which we hear the voice of God? What are some of the typical ways in which the Holy Spirit speaks to us? And this is, like I said, straight from Blackaby. He gives really four ways that he says God speaks to us by his Spirit. In typically four ways, if we look through the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you see all different types of ways, right? In fact, it says that in Scripture, right? And long ago, in many ways, right? God spoke to us. Today, he's spoken to us through Jesus. And then after Jesus ascends, he says, I'm sending my Holy Spirit to you. It's actually better that I go away, that I'm not right beside you, but rather that my Holy Spirit's inside of you, and he's gonna speak to you and lead you and guide you. And typically, in the New Testament, we see that happen in one of four ways. And so here are these four things, right? Number one is the Bible. God speaks to us by his Spirit through the Word of God, the already revealed Word of God. Quick note on that, right? We believe that the Bible is closed, right? That the canon is closed. So even though we're saying, look, we believe God still speaks to people today, he doesn't speak to people in the sense of, hey, Joe, right? Write this down, 1 Joe chapter 1, verse 1, right? And read that out to everyone to teach. That doesn't happen anymore. We would say the canon is closed, right? That God doesn't speak that way, but he still does speak. And he speaks to us through the already revealed Word of God. So the Bible, through prayer, that's the second, right? Through prayer, through circumstances. You got the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and finally, the church, right? Other believers. So God speaks to us by his Spirit, typically, normatively, right? That's the normal pattern in the New Testament, through the Bible, through prayer, through our circumstances, and through the church. And so we're gonna walk through these quickly, just kind of one at a time. And I wanna read a little bit of scripture along with at least most of these so you know, okay, I'm not just making this up. Blackaby's not just making this up. This is what we see in scripture. So 1 Corinthians, as it comes to the Bible, right? God speaks to us by his Spirit or through the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 says this. Paul's speaking, and he says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. This is verse 14. For they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So you ask the question, what does it mean that God speaks to me through the Word of God? When I open the Bible, here's what I mean. Unless the Holy Spirit unlocks kind of the Bible for you, right? He's really the key to unlocking the Bible. It's not gonna speak to you in the way that God really intends it to speak to you. So I had a friend, right, who's not a believer, read the entire Bible cover to cover in like 3 months. He just said, hey man, I'm just gonna read the Bible. Read the whole thing. By the end of it, he and I talked, he said, I found nothing of this to be helpful or extraordinary in any way, shape, or form. Right, to me, I'm thinking, how, right? How, I mean, I read this stuff and Martin Luther says this, right? I don't read the Bible as much as it reads me, right? Like I read it and it's just unlocking my life and teaching me, how do you read the whole Bible and not see that? And he says, look, there's nothing extraordinary about it. It's no different than any other book. And so here's the thing, the Holy Spirit, right? God's Spirit is the one who unlocks kind of God's Word. It says the Spirit searches even the depths of God. So it's just like he says, no one understands your thoughts except you, right? Nobody understands exactly what's going on inside of your brain except you. Same thing it says with God, right? Nobody understands God the Father and what he said. His ways are so much higher than our ways, his thoughts higher than our thoughts, that it takes his spirit living inside of us who actually unlocks and guides us through scripture as we read it. So let me give you an example, right? Have you ever been reading the Bible and you got to that point and you're reading and you think, I feel like I've read this like 10 times and it's never said this, right? Like I'm reading it and I feel like I'm reading it for the first time, right? Seeing a few heads nod. That's the Holy Spirit working in your life. Have you ever read the Bible, right? You open it up, something's going on in your life and you're just anxious and you open it up and it's like, how did God know, right? Like I read it and God, you know, wow. And so you read it and that's the Holy Spirit of God speaking through the word of God and applying it to your life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Says that the word of God, right? Scripture, the Bible, is sharper. It's living and active. It says it's living and active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that it divides even to the division of soul and spirit, right? Of joint and of marrow. And it shows the intentions or brings forth the intentions of the hearts of men. So what it's saying is, look, when the Spirit of God gets a hold of the Word of God in your life, it's gonna press it into your life. He's gonna press it into your life and apply it to your life in a way that's gonna change you if you're willing to submit and apply it and adjust your life to what the Spirit of God says through his word, right? That is the primary way in which God speaks to us through his spirit, right? So many of us, we're like, great, I read the Bible a ton. And then some of us, right? Maybe many of us are like, oh man, it's been a while. And here's what I'll say, right? This is not about making anyone feel guilty or you're a bad person or anything like that. What I'm saying is this, if you are serious about following Jesus, you've got to get serious about reading the Bible. It is pretty much impossible to be a mature Christian without spending time in the Word. Why? Because that's the primary way in which God is gonna speak to you in your life, direct you, guide you. It's gonna be his Holy Spirit working through the Word. So if you're serious about following Jesus, you say, I wanna be more like Jesus. I wanna see more of this junk in my life gone. I wanna see myself looking and being more like Jesus. You've gotta spend time studying his Word, because it's the primary way in which he speaks to us. The second one, and this is so connected to the Bible, right? You just really can't separate these two, is through prayer. Through prayer. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says this. This is again, Paul speaking. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself, this is so encouraging, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I don't know about you, but that's a really comforting thought to me to know that when we sit down to pray, right, we've got this relationship with God the Father, and Jesus says, look, it's actually better that I went away, because instead of Jesus beside you, he says, now you've got the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. The Holy Spirit is active in your prayer life. So how many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, but just think about it. How many of us have sat down to pray before and you just kind of blank, right? I mean, you sit there and think, I know I should pray, but I just don't even know what to pray for. Or maybe some situation happened and you hear this, you know, someone tells you about a tragedy going on. And you're just like, God, I feel like I should talk to you, but I don't really know what to say. I don't know what I should pray for. Do I pray for this person's healing? Do I pray for just comfort for them? What do I pray for? And in those moments, it says, look, the Spirit of God intercedes for you with groanings too deep for words. You just know you should talk to God, but you don't know exactly what to say. It says the Spirit comes alongside of you. He knows what to say. Then he speaks to God on your behalf. That's an incredible thought, right? It's like watching a father with his kid who's golfing, right? It's like, well, who's doing the golf swing? The father or the son? Both, right? He's coming around side, kind of helping the kid teach and you know, learn how to swing. It's like the Spirit comes around you and kind of helps you pray. Are you praying? Yes. Is the Spirit praying? Yes, right? That's because he's actually inside of you, guiding you through prayer. And what you're gonna find is, right, that kind of combined with scripture, the more you spend time in the word, the more you're gonna find that you have to pray about. And the more that you pray, right, you're gonna find that the word of God is coming into your prayer more and more. You're gonna go to that situation and say, I know what to pray for this person because God brought to mind this passage of scripture. I'm just gonna pray that over this person. So God speaks to you through the Bible. He speaks to you through prayer, speaks to us through prayer. Now, I think one of the questions is, so Cale, with prayer, right, it's both speaking to, asking things from God, adoring God, thanking God, but also listening to God. Scripture talks a whole lot about let's wait, let's get quiet, let's stop our busy schedules, and let's pray and wait to hear from the Lord. You say, well, what does that look like? Should I lock myself in a room for hours and hours and hours and just wait for an audible voice? And here's what I would say. God can do whatever he wants, right? He is the God of the universe, and it certainly wouldn't contradict his character if he actually spoke to you, right? I've got people in my life who I trust and love, and they follow Jesus and have mentored me, who have said, man, there was kind of one time in my life or two times in my life where it literally seemed like it was an audible voice who spoke to me. And here's what I would say. You got to bring that back to scripture, right? And say, okay, is what was said, right? Does that jive with scripture? Does that jive with what other believers in my life can confirm in my life, right? If you're hearing voices, he told me to kill that person. That's not God, right? You can go back to scripture and say, look, I am positive that's not what God is telling you. But here's what I'll say. You gotta be very, very careful, okay? Bad things happen when people get super isolated and just wait in caves for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to hear voices, okay? It's not the normative way. It's not the typical way that we see God speaking to people, especially in the New Testament. It says all the time that God told them this, that God spoke to him this. It doesn't always tell us how. Was it a feeling? Was it through another believer? Was it an audible voice? Sometimes it was an audible voice, but those seem pretty extraordinary. Moments like where Paul, right, gets knocked off his horse and Jesus shows up to him. You don't see a whole lot of those instances in the New Testament. So what I would say is, typically, the way this seems to work is as you spend time in prayer, and as you're studying, the Spirit's gonna bring to mind and bring on your heart urgings, right? A sense that, man, I feel like I should pray for this person. I just feel like God set that on my heart, right? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I feel like God brought to mind this passage. So let's say you go down to pray and you're like, God, I am so anxious. I am so worried about everything going on. I'm so overwhelmed. And all of a sudden you just remember that passage that says, right, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make known your requests to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When that stuff comes to mind, or another believer comes in your life and says, you gotta remember this, right? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And if you say, well, I haven't read much of the scripture. Well, then start reading, right? The Holy Spirit's job is to bring to your remembrance what Jesus said. If you don't know what Jesus said, it's kind of hard to bring to remembrance what Jesus said. And so spend time studying the word, spend time in prayer, and you're gonna find through those two things that the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that God speaks to you, and you can adjust your life accordingly. Let's look at circumstances. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 say this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. I believe that God speaks to people, both in good circumstances and in bad circumstances. And what's the key there, right? Well, if God's gonna speak to me both in good circumstances and bad, what's the key? It says, do not lean on your own understanding. It says, instead, in those moments, acknowledge him in all your ways, in all your circumstances, the good, the bad, the ugly, right, the mediocre. Acknowledge God and lean on his understanding and not your own understanding. So when it comes to bad circumstances, one of the things that Blackaby said that I think is really, really helpful, he said, look, be careful that you don't try to understand God in the midst of really, really difficult circumstances. You're oftentimes gonna get a very distorted view of God when you try to figure out God and figure out what God is doing in the midst of your bad circumstances. He says, those are the times you've gotta just trust. God, I'm not gonna lean on my own understanding. I'm going to stand on your promises, and I'm gonna trust that you're good and that you're gonna see me through this. And then on the far end of these really bad circumstances, maybe I'll be able to look back and see what you were up to. Maybe I won't. Maybe not till I get to heaven. But in the midst of those bad circumstances, we oftentimes want what? We want the why, right? God, why? Why is this happening? And we've got to look at examples like Job, right? The guy in the Old Testament who just horrible circumstances come on and all his friends come in and say, here's the explanation. You did wrong, right? You need to repent. It's sin in your life, right? All these different explanations. And Job says, guys, I didn't do any of those things. I don't know why God's doing this, but I'm gonna trust, right, that God is still good. I'm not gonna curse God. I'm not gonna get angry at God. I'm gonna trust that God is still good through these difficult circumstances. And I think God can speak to you in those times, but you've gotta trust. God, you're good. You're trustworthy. And when it comes to good circumstances, let me give you an example of how I've seen kind of all of these coalesce in my life, prayer, the church, right, circumstances, and scripture all at one time. So when I was in college, my first 2 years, I had no idea what I was doing as far as a major, so I was a history major basically by default. And I got to college and then, what do you wanna do? I like history. Okay, I'm a history major, right? I looked forward, I didn't know what that led to. Basically, they told me you can be a librarian, right? Or a museum curator, or you can teach history, right? Those are kind of my field options as far as like applied history. And so I started coming in junior year, and I was just really following the Lord for really the first time, full out, surrendering and saying, God, I want to know who you are. So I'm studying the word, I'm in community, I'm praying. And there was one night in particular where I just left the library. I couldn't even work. I'm sitting there trying to type, and I just got up and walked out. And I walked through town, and I just spent some time in prayer. And I said, God, I don't need to know the next 20 years. I just need to know the next step. I'm 20 years old. I have no idea what I want to do with my life. And that is just frustrating. And I trust you. I really do. So whatever it is, I just need to know. The next day, literally like 12 hours later, I'm having lunch with Adam Purcell, who's the Mount Vernon campus pastor, the teaching pastor there, with another guy from the college. We're having lunch together, and he says, man, I want you to stay here for the summer and be my intern. I want you to intern as a college pastor. I think you would be great at this. I think the Lord is working in you. You should stick around and learn what it means to be a pastor. One of those moments where I didn't hear an audible voice, but it kind of seemed like the heavens opened up and some music started playing, and I was just like, that's it, right? I mean, that's it. This is what I'm supposed to do with my life. And what's funny is people, do you know how many times people have probably told me, have you ever considered being a pastor? Many times. It just wasn't the right time. I couldn't hear it. I would hear it and say, that's fine. But if you'd asked me, what do you want to do as a job? I would have said, I want to have a job where I can tell people about Jesus openly. The fact that pastor never crossed my mind just means I'm kind of a bonehead, right? But this guy said, man, I want you to learn what it means to be a pastor. And I could just tell this is God speaking through Adam right now. My prayer and circumstances and the Bible and my community around me affirm this in me, right? I know that this is the Holy Spirit speaking to me, right? This is God speaking to me through his Spirit, through my circumstances. And I said, okay, right? And looking back, I know that was God. There are times that those all four of these things kind of coalesce, and those are times you can walk forward in confidence knowing, look, I'm doing the thing that God has called me to do. I know that this is the will of God in my life. So let's talk really quickly about that last one there, church, right? Other believers. I could point again to the example there with Adam, right? That was community in my life surrounding me and really speaking into me, and I could recognize, man, I think this is God speaking to me through this person. But the bottom line is this. You need the accountability and spiritual enrichment that comes with biblical community. You will not hear from the Holy Spirit as clearly or as healthfully if you are isolated. That is not ever the pattern of the New Testament. If you look in the New Testament and ask, okay, what are people doing? They're always going out two by two, right? They've got a team around them. You read some of Paul's letters and the greetings at the end. He just lists a litany of people who are his co-workers and his fellow workers in Christ. You need spiritual community in your life. And so if you're here for the first time, I hope, I'm pumped that you're here. I hope that LifePoint can be this community in your life where you can experience the community of God and hear God's Spirit speaking to you through that community. If you're here and you've been at LifePoint for a long time and you're not part of a life group, this is like reason number 87. We say get into a life group and find community. If you've been here a long time and you're not in a life group, I am not giving up on you, right? I'm going to continue to encourage you to get into a life group. Why? Because I believe that when you find community, that it's healthy. Godly community is healthy. And so it's not always that it's, okay, majority rule, right? I should ask everybody in my group, what should God do? You know, what do you think God's telling me? I'm not saying that's how that works. There are going to be times where you hear from the Lord and you speak to other people that you trust and that you love, and they're going to say, I don't think you should do that. And you're going to say, man, I'm positive that this is what the Lord has told me to do. I know, and that's legit sometimes. We see that in scripture, right? Paul and other believers who just don't disagree. Paul says, I know, guys, God has told me to go here. And they're saying, yeah, but you're going to die. And he says, but I know that God's calling me to go there. So I'm not saying it's a majority rule, but that community is so valuable for you to be able to go to other people, pray for them, have them pray for you and say, hey, I feel like this is what the Lord is speaking to me. Do you see that in my life? As you know, as you pray for me and look at my life, can you confirm this in me? That's a healthy, healthy atmosphere. To hear from the Holy Spirit, to hear God speaking to you through the Holy Spirit, through biblical community. It's not gonna be perfect, it's gonna be messy, but it's healthier and better than being isolated. Now, those are the four ways, right? Typically, again, normative ways. God's allowed to do whatever God wants, but typically in the New Testament, we see God speaking by his Holy Spirit through the Bible, through prayer, through the church, right? Through circumstances. I want to make this very clear. These are patterns, not a formula. These are patterns, not a formula. So you look at me and say, well, Cale, cool. So you're saying if I want to determine the will of God in my life, I should spend a little time in the Bible, and then spend some time in prayer, then jump into, you know, a church group and have some community, and then look at my circumstances, and I can basically figure this out, right? And I can read it, you know, like it's a mysterious thing, but these are the mixture I need to kind of mix together, and I'll get God's will out of that. And I would say, no, that's not how that works. It's not a formula. These are patterns that are set in the context of a relationship. Okay, and this is the next point in your listening guide. This is so key to understand, okay? Your relationship to the Father through the Son is the key, not a key. It is the key to understanding the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Say, what do you mean by that? Your relationship to God the Father being reconciled. Scripture is very clear that every single one of us is super sinful and we can't fix ourselves. That we are super sinful and we remain under the wrath of God. Why? Because God is a just God who is opposed to sin. However, that just God loves you incredibly. So he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for you on a cross, to give up his life so that you can have life. And all you have to do is say, you know what? I'm repenting of my sin and I'm turning toward Jesus and I accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And from this moment forward, I'm walking, I'm following, I am all in. That's what it means to be saved. That's to have a relationship. The moment that happens, you are reconciled to God the Father through the Son. And he says, look, when you do that, I give you my Holy Spirit. My Holy Spirit's literally gonna fuse to your soul in such a way that I'm guiding you, I'm walking with you, and I'm teaching you. But the key there is the relationship. It's not this formula of, okay, this is how, you know, the mechanics of how I hear from God. It's I am close to God. I spend time with God. I pursue God. And the more I pursue him, the more I begin to recognize his voice. The more I pursue him, the more I begin to recognize his voice. Now, I say that, but my inclination is that saying that and illustrating that are two different things. So I'm gonna try to illustrate this. I know we're gonna be maybe a little long on time, but I think this is worth it. So I've asked Sean and Stacy to come up on stage to illustrate this idea of hearing from the voice of God and recognizing his voice. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna have some fun, but I also hope this is meaningful and helpful. I'm gonna give you guys, this is Sean and Stacy, everyone. Can we say hi to Sean and Stacy? Give them, coming up here. I'm gonna give you that one. Sean, Stacy, your job is easy. Sean, I could put you in the doghouse really quick with this illustration. So good luck to you. I'm gonna have you blindfolded, okay? So if you'll put this blindfold on, I'd like you to stand here and I want you to face this way with the blindfold on, okay? Stacy and I are gonna stand over here and here's what we're gonna do, okay? What we're gonna do is we're gonna have a little voice experiment and kind of seeing, can Sean identify Stacy's voice, right? And so we're gonna throw some things up on the screen and Stacy and I are gonna read those. One of us is gonna read it first. Sean, you good over there?
Good.
Can you see anything?
No.
Okay, that's the goal. All right, she's gonna read it, and then I'm gonna read it, or I'm gonna read it, and then she's gonna read it. And Sean is gonna have to guess, okay, who said that? Because I'm gonna give, and this is special for all of you, I'm gonna give my best imitation of Stacy Abner, right? And I'm really good at this. So I think this is gonna be really difficult for Sean to tell the difference. So Stacy, if you'll step this way, we're gonna look at the screen there, and you're gonna be able to read, hopefully, what the screen pops up and shows. Can you see that? You can go that way a little bit. I can see it. So can you see it? How about we look at the screen? Does that work? Oh, you can see it? Okay, you read that one. We'll read from there. Okay, Sean, one of us is gonna go first and the other one's gonna go second, but I'm not telling you which, okay?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Sean is such a great dad and husband.
Cale, that's perfect. That's,
who was that?
That's you, man.
Okay. All right, one for one. How about you read the one below that?
I just love the way Sean leads our family.
That's my beautiful bride.
Dang it. Man, I thought I was gonna really be close on that one. Okay, so he's two for two. Here's what we're gonna do now. We're gonna have Stacy read all of them, okay? Except that the next one that comes up, you guys will see Stacy's name or my name, which means that I have written it or she has written it. We're gonna see even from Stacy's voice, right? She's reading all of these. Can Sean identify, you know, that sounds like Stacy or that doesn't sound like Stacy, right? So Stacy's gonna read this. Sean, again, you could be in the doghouse or you could totally blow up my illustration. So get these right, okay?
Got it.
Honey, you're the best looking man on the entire planet. Every time you walk into the room, I practically swoon.
Oh, Kale, I didn't know you felt that way.
All right, he's 3 for 3. All right, we're gonna keep going.
Honey, I love the way you are. So generous with people in need.
That's my darling.
All right, come on, he's 4 for 4. All right, let's go to the next one.
Darling, I love your passion for men or for leading other men.
We're just gonna roll. We're gonna roll right past that. Sean, me, or Stacy?
Darling, thank you for that compliment. Yeah. I'll take that.
Keep it rolling.
Hey, babe, I'm stopping by the grocery store to pick up some Spam Loaf and SpaghettiOs. I know you like. Anything else you need?
Oh, that's Kale.
All right, perfect score so far. Two more.
Darling, I'm really craving pizza and ice cream. We should get that for dinner tonight.
Kale, you're gonna fat me up.
Oh, come on, man.
Sean chooses God, and his heart is awesome when he does.
That's my darling.
All right, perfect score. Thank you, guys. You guys say thank you to them for coming on up. That's awesome. So, my point in that fun little illustration is, no matter whether I'm imitating or whether it's even Stacy reading things that I've written, Sean, it's not hard for him to identify. They've been married 8 years, right? He right off the bat can hear, you know what? That's not my wife's voice, number one. And even if it is, does sound like her voice, that's not something that she would say, right? That's something Kale would say. That's something silly he would say. I know the compliments that my wife would give me. Here's the point. It's the same way in our relationship with God. The closer you are to God, the more time you spend speaking with God and hearing from God, the better you get at identifying his voice in your life. It becomes a little bit less guesswork and a little bit, you know what? I'm hearing this and people are telling me this, but I know that's not something God would say. That doesn't sound like God. Maybe sounds a little bit like his voice, but I know that's not something he would say. I can come back to scripture and say, I know what God would say. I know what God has said in this area, and I'm choosing the Lord. We get better and better at identifying his voice, but the key is the relationship. You don't get that without spending time with the Lord. Jesus says, look, my sheep know my voice. Why? Because we've got this close, intimate relationship. And so as we seek to hear from the Holy Spirit, you cannot replace that key relationship. I need a relationship with this person. And when I have a relationship with Jesus, with God through Jesus, his Spirit speaks to me and I begin to be able to identify his voice and what's the counterfeit. And here's the final thing I want to say this morning, and then I'll close up shop. So as we seek to hear from the Holy Spirit, this is so crucial. Our yes, right, has to already be on the table. The way I've said it in your listening guide is your response to the Holy Spirit has to be an unqualified yes. Here's what I mean by this. So many of us, we want to hear from God, and it's like we give him a multiple choice test. Dear Jesus, please tell me what to do. And here are your four options, A, B, C, or D, preferably A or C, right? If you would pick one of those, that would make me super happy. We can't give God a multiple choice test. We've got to hand God a blank sheet of paper and say, God, start writing. Whatever you write, that's what I'm going to do. Here's my unqualified yes already on the table. Whatever you say to me, I will adjust my life to you. Not ask you, God, please adjust your plans to my plans. God, here are my plans. Adjust them accordingly. When we want to hear from the Holy Spirit, God speaks. But when he does, it's with a purpose. And he adjusted to us in the ultimate way by coming in the form of his son. But when it comes for his plan for your life, what he wants you to do according to his kingdom, right? He's got a plan and he's moving forward that plan. We are privileged to be a part of it. So when we say, God, what is it you want me to do? What's your will? When we hear from him, we've got to be willing to adjust and say, God, whatever it is, no restrictions, no qualifications, no conditions. Here's my blank sheet of paper. Start writing. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, God, I love you. And I know there are many sitting here who love you, Father. God, for those of us who do have a relationship with you, I pray that this week we would pay attention Not only this week, but in the weeks coming ahead and in the months coming ahead, as Ohio Wesleyan students come back, Father, we are looking to that campus and saying, we want to reach students for the sake of the gospel. God, we know that you're active. We look at our community and say, we want to reach people in this community for the sake of the gospel. God, we know that you're active and that you're speaking to us, and we have an opportunity to join in what you're doing. And so, Father, as you speak to us by your Spirit, through scripture, through prayer, through our circumstances here individually and as a church, and through our community of believers, God, let us listen. Let us be attentive. And Father, when you speak, I pray that our plans would not trump your plans. That God, we'd be willing to adjust accordingly and put our unqualified yes on the table to whatever it is you want us to do. God, I thank you that we're yours, that you love us, and that Father, you say that we'll know your voice. Help us to spend the time with you, Father, to invest in the relationship and to hear you and know it's you, Father, so that we can walk forward in peace and in confidence, knowing I'm living out the will of God. As we just stay in that spirit of prayer, eyes closed, everyone's looking down, I wanna say, maybe you're here this morning and you just know, I don't know all about this whole theology stuff, but I know that my life is not right with God. That if I were to die right now, I really don't know what would happen. I don't really know where I'm at in my relationship with God, or if I even have a relationship. So here's what I'm gonna ask. If that's you this morning, nobody's looking around, this is a really personal time. If that's you this morning, I would just ask, would you just slip your hand up really quick? Say, Kale, that's me this morning. I know I'm not entirely sure about my relationship with Jesus. You just slip your hand up. Thank you. Nobody's gonna look around. You can just slip it up and slip it right back down. Thank you. If you slipped that up this morning, here's what I'm gonna do. You don't have to live in insecurity. So if you raised your hand, or even if you didn't, you just didn't wanna raise it up, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pray, and you can pray this with me. And it's not magic. It's just the intention of your heart to say, God, from this moment forward, I'm giving my life to you. I'm gonna follow you. And scripture says, when you do that, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. And from this moment forward, you gotta keep following Jesus. Not a one-time thing, but a start of a new life. So you can pray this with me. Dear Jesus, I love you and I need you. And this morning I'm turning from my sin, and I accept you as my Lord, total surrender, and as my Savior, my only hope. And I give my life to you from this day forward. And I ask this all in Jesus' name, amen.